This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Wendy Ying from Sarasota, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio November 12th. This is episode 40. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I ride a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on Horses in the Morning on this Wednesday morning. Wendy is here. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, guys.
Thank you so much for filling in today. Jamie is out on a ride-along. She mentioned this on Monday. She's out on a ride-along with the Sheriff's Department Animal Control Unit today. So she was all excited about being able to do that. So we'll see
yeah,
how that goes.
Fun.
I'm sure we'll hear all about it on Friday, what she's allowed to talk about.
Oh, you'll hear all about it.
I'm sure.
I'm sure she's going to be, mad at everybody that she sees with the way they're treating their animals.
and she was hoping to be able to arrest people. So I don't know if she went out and bought a pair of handcuffs or what, but she was hoping to be able to arrest people. So we'll see what happens with her ride along with the Sheriff's Department. Hey, our thoughts are out to all of you in the north of where Wendy and I are here in Florida because, record cold and snow all across the north. There were 2 feet of snow in some places. Incredible cold coming in and going to be a very fun the rest of the week, and I say that very sarcastically. So our thoughts are with you. That is the reason we moved to Florida. So we wouldn't have to deal with all
you know
of that.
When I heard that news, I felt so bad for the animals because they haven't had time to grow their winter coats. I mean, I'm sure they're free, but dramatically, we can get an extra coat or, an extra jacket. But for the poor animals, like the cows and the horses out there, it's such a drastic change.
It definitely is. And I'll tell you what, and what's really weird is my pony has hair about almost 2 inches long, and he's living in Florida, so figure that out. He's ready.
That's funny.
He's ready for the cold.
He's an alarmist.
He's going to be cold.
Yeah,
he's a Florida pony.
Jennifer, what's coming up? We have a full show today.
We do on today's Whirlwind Tour Across the Equinosphere Wednesday edition. Horse and Country TV's Victoria Spicer brings the news from across the pond, providing her ship does not sink. Heading south to Louisiana, we will chat with the creators of Boot Camp for Breeches. And our final stop, Tawny Angel from California, who's been making headlines lately, and she's here to tell us about how she's fighting back against some animal rights extremists. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Before we get started with the Daily Winnies today, a couple of serious topics here. It's going to be a more serious show here today, I think. But for all the fans of Big Bang Theory out there, and I know Jamie's not one of them, but I know that about 95% of our listeners are, the actress Carol Ann Susie has died at the age of 62. And you're saying, well, who's she? She is the voice of Mrs. Wallowitz. On the show. You never saw her on the show. She never made an appearance, but she's been there since day one. And she passed away after a brief battle with cancer at the age of 62. So our thoughts are
it's
with
so
her
young.
Family. I know. Mm-hmm. And apparently was very popular on the set. She had been an actress for many, many years, had done many TV shows where we actually did see her. And when she got this gig, I mean, it was really a good gig, and she kept working up until recently. She was able to do that because even through the chemo and everything, she was a voiceover, basically, so she didn't need to be seen. So she was able to keep working through the whole thing, and she'll be missed at Big Bang Theory for sure. There was a very tragic fire in Michigan. It killed 20 horses, and this was 10 miles northeast of South Bend. It's a stables called Smithfield Stables. It's in Cass County. And about 4:50 yesterday afternoon, they saw a fire, called the fire department. 15 fire departments responded. But it was so out of control by that point, it killed 20 horses and a show dog. Thoughts are how tragic that must be. And there were no reports of injuries of people, and it's not known how the fire was started. But, you know, this just brings to mind that we are coming into winter, and it's time to think about, you know, if you have heat sources in the barn, make sure they're safe. Get all of the cobwebs from around the light bulbs. Just all the little things that we have to think about when it comes to fire. And we've covered that topic many, many times here on the show. But Jennifer, maybe for one of our replays here, we could replay one of the guests we've had on talking about fire safety in barns. So we should do that again.
Yes,
soon.
We'll do that Thursday because we've got a classic coming up.
All right, good. Well, let's do that for sure. And that's about it for the sad news for today. Let's get on with our daily winnies. Well, my daily winnie goes out to one of our teenage listeners, and her name is Ruby Kaufman. She's been on the show before. She's played some of the games with us on the show, and she's probably 15 years old now, and she is an amazing drawer. I mean, she draws some of the most incredible horses. For her age, I can imagine in another 5 years and maybe with some training along the way what it's going to be like. But it's just amazing, some of the most beautiful horse drawings I've ever seen. And she did another one that she posted yesterday, and I'm posting it here on Horses in the Morning. You'll see it pop up on the Horses in the Morning feed, but what an incredible artist she is at such a young age. So good job, Ruby. Very nice work. Very nice work.
Yeah, beautiful. And I really, I mean, I can't draw at all. I'm always amazed when I see things like this. How do they do it?
I can't even draw the stick figure of a horse. Let alone, I mean, the halter, look at the detail in the halter and just everything, the hair, I mean, and the mane, and her ears, she got nailed the ears. And it's hard.
Sure.
They say horses are one of the hardest things to draw. So, you know, and here she just has
ability
to do it. Yeah. Don't they say that, Jennifer? You've taken drawing and painting classes, that horses are really tough because of the musculature and things.
Yeah, I checked the source on that, and the source is a middle-aged podcasting host. Yeah, he's been quoted as saying that several times.
Very funny, very funny.
Okay, my daily Winnie goes out to BZ Madden, the famous show jumper, because I just saw a video of her. It was a split screen, actually. I am sure some of you have seen it on Facebook, but it was her winning the Grand Prix at the National Horse Show, and she gallops down to this 5.5-foot, really, really wide. And when I was when I grew up riding, that was always like the bane of my existence, like that giant oxer at the end, like, of course, headed towards the outgate. And she just saw her long distance, and she sat down, and she rode to it, and she went flying over it, and she won the Grand Prix against McLean Ward. And the split screen is actually really fun to watch, but my daily winning goes out to her for just balls of steel. I mean, that is incredible.
She and those two seem to always be in the finals against each other, don't they? I mean, DeBeese and McLean are the two that are always in the finals against each other. And Wendy, yep. You're going to have to give us a call back on your phone. I think your internet is not holding up at this point.
Okay, so, I'll call back.
Yeah, Wendy just moved Bye. Into a new farm and just bought a farm, actually, and is
Wendy
now
bought the
proud...
farm.
She
oh,
did.
No,
she
that's
bought
not
the
what
farm.
We didn't say at all.
And she's now a mature, responsible adult and owns a place and not going to be moving around every 2 years anymore like us. So she's we're excited. We're going to get to go down and see it over the weekend. We're going to go down and see her new place. But it is
You're
beautiful.
Excited.
And I saw some of the pictures of the outside. But she had some great live oak trees there, some of the really, really big, huge ones.
Now, as a housewarming gift, are we going to get Wendy and Kyle the 52-inch zero-turn mower?
Yeah, that's what they're going to need because there's a lot of grass.
There's a lot of grass
at this place. Well, that's why they have goats. See, they have goats
that's
and
true.
Chickens to,
so,
you know, take
so
care
for
of that.
So for a housewarming gift, we're going to get them a goat. I like that. I like that much better.
I think they probably have three or four goats, and they have all the chickens and, of course, all the horses, so they'll be able to take care of that. They'll accomplish that goal pretty easily. Well, while we're waiting for Wendy to get back, you might have heard in Jennifer's introduction that we are not doing the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge today because we were able to secure a somewhat exclusive interview with Tawny Angel, who is coming on, and she has made the news all over the place, some mainstream news even, right now. And John Katz, our friend, the author, recommended that we talk to her about a situation that's happening with her in California right now that really will affect all of us eventually. So it's something that we have to pay attention to. So we decided to devote the last half hour of the show to Tawny and to her fight really on behalf of all of us. She's leading the way, and we'll talk more about that. But Wendy and I have very strong feelings and opinions on that as well. So we'll talk to Tawny in the third half hour of the show today. Are you back, Wendy?
I'm back.
All right, good.
Can
well,
you hear me
better.
All right?
Yeah, maybe you
okay,
won't be
good.
All breaky-uppy. We were just telling people about your new farm and how exciting that is that you've finally become a mature adult.
I know. I'm a grown-up.
How does it feel to be a grown-up for 3 days?
Scary.
Yeah, you've rented for a long time, so when you look around now, if it breaks, you have to fix it.
I know. Well, you know, I used to, before you knew me, Glenn, I used to be very responsible. I used to, I had a farm in Virginia, and that farm in Virginia was actually pretty big, and it was just so much work, and it was really hard. And then I started showing, and we kind of went on the road like gypsies, and it was a fun time, but I'm glad to be settled down again.
Well, it is beautiful. We can't wait to see it this weekend when we come down. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I can't wait for you guys to come up.
Well, we have a couple of news stories here to get to before we get to our first guest. And the first one is, new listeners to the show will not know this, but Jennifer Lawrence is now out doing her red carpet events. She was in London over the weekend. Because, of course, Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1 is coming out. I can't wait to see it the day it comes out. We're going to be going to see
it.
And what a lot of people don't realize is Wendy was one of the very few people in the world that's actually been between Jennifer's legs.
I have been. Yeah.
Yes,
for days on end.
For days on end, she spent between Jennifer Lawrence's legs. I don't think you really knew who Jennifer Lawrence was then, but...
I didn't actually. We didn't. I had never seen the Hunger Games, and they were like totally stunned that because I asked the prop manager who was running the whole show, and I'm like, so what's going on in this scene? Like, just give me a little details. And he was telling me something, and he looks at me, and the questions I was asking, he's like, "You've never seen the Hunger Games, have you?" And I said, "No."
Wendy was a stunt person in the Hunger Games, got to drive a chariot. And it happened to be the chariot that Jennifer Lawrence was in. So she really was kneeling down on the floor of the chariot between Jennifer Lawrence's legs.
Yeah,
so not
that's right.
Many people can say that. There's a couple guys.
That was my movie debut under a blanket, under a black blanket, hiding down and looking through this little box driving horses. It was fun.
And you'll be able to see that. That was the second movie, right? Wasn't the second movie
the
where
second
the character?
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen the second Hunger Games movie, you can't really see Wendy. But you can see the chariot and the horse she's driving.
If you can spot Wendy, we'll send you a hit 'em mug.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, you can't. They blacked me out.
But the reason I brought this up is apparently horse people are big fans of Jennifer Lawrence, too, because Lawrence told the crowd, it's amazing to see so many fans here. Someone gave me a photo of a Shetland pony to sign. I don't know what it means, but it's still making me laugh now. So Jennifer is over in London, and apparently the horse fans have come out to see her as well. I know that I'm a huge fan of the show, or of the movies and the books. I read all the books, so we'll be there. And I've convinced Jennifer now, she's seen the first two movies, so she'll be there too. We'll be watching.
Well, you know, our friend Carol Tassan, Carol and Greg were the animal wranglers for that show. That's how I got on there. And for this third one, some of the dogs, our friend's dog friend, you know, remember Megan Bench?
Yeah,
she's a carriage driver. She won the gold medal for para driving. Her dog's in there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and I think Randy Castle's cats are in there.
Well, there you go. We know the celebrity animals in the next
Hunger
Games movie.
Only. That's an exclusive here on Horses in the Morning. Nowhere else are you going
to
get that kind of information.
I have to tell you one more thing. Tamika was supposed to be in the first one. I mean, in the second one, the one where I drove chariots. But she was cut because she was too fat.
That's Wendy's dog.
I know. They said, oh, we need a, you know, some skinny junkyard dogs walking around starving. And I sent them a picture of Tamika. I said, oh, I have the perfect dog. And they're like, are you kidding? No way. So she's experienced the pain of the Hollywood casting couch.
That's funny.
Poor baby.
Well, it's time now for this.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And that means it's time for Victoria Spicer all the way from England with our European Report from horseandcountry.tv. Hey, Victoria.
Good morning, team.
Thank you so much for coming on today. We really appreciate it. So now, did you go down to meet Jennifer Lawrence at the big red carpet event?
I didn't. I'm afraid that's too much effort.
Well, you're not a dedicated fan. What good are you, Victoria? I was counting on you for a report.
I am quite a fan. I actually, it's one of the few films that I see the film first and then decide to read the book. And I thought the first film was brilliant, and then I read all the books. So, yes, now I'm not as excited about the remaining films. I know what happened.
See, I read the books, and I'm still excited about the remaining films. I'm ready.
They are good, and I'm excited because since it's splitting the new film into two, hopefully there'll be some more insights and action going on, so hopefully it'll be good.
Yeah, this was one of the books, you know how the sequels are not usually better. This was just like Harry Potter, where all the books were equally as good. They were really good series, you know.
I think with Harry Potter, the first film's really like cheesy and the acting's really bad, whereas the last film I think's brilliant. So.
Well, they were like 6 years old when they first started, right? I mean,
exactly. I think Daniel Radcliffe has said that he finds it quite cringy watching the early ones. So it's not.
I know how he feels about that.
Well, Victoria, what's going on over there in England?
Oh, there's been quite a lot happening. One of the big stories that we ran on our website yesterday is about the dressage world. And one of the very best horses in the world, after Vallegro, of course, is Damon Hill, a German horse. And he's actually been taken away from his rider. So we're not going to see Helen Lange-Hannenberg ride him at Rio 2016, which is such a shame.
Well, there's been a lot of that going on, hasn't there? There's been a lot of movement with owners and riders here in the last year or so.
Yeah, there always is in the dressage world, and obviously we had some with Carla Hester and Charlotte Dujardin, and whether they were going to sell their horses, but now they both have kept the rides on them, which is great. But the German team were just incredible at WEG, and considering Totalist wasn't there, they won by such a margin and were so good that it was just a phenomenal result. But now for them to lose their one of their best combinations, again, individual silver at WEG, I think it's a real blow to the German team.
Exactly. I agree. Yeah, no, and it is one of the, you know, it's one of the disadvantages to having owners, but you almost can't afford to do it without owners nowadays. But it is one of the risks you take, isn't it?
Absolutely. And happens to riders of all levels, but it's never very nice. So that's the one thing I tell myself when I'm bankrupting myself owning my own horses, that at least I don't have to worry about owners.
Maybe that'll change once you get up to advanced 4-star level.
That'll never happen. I'm too old.
And then also you had a teen star that came to the forefront.
Yes, now this is an Irish rider who before this year I'd never heard of him, and he is just ridiculously good. And he shot to prominence at the World Equestrian Games as well when he won one of the first classes in the show jumping. And now he's done his first World Cup qualifier, which is the winter series that runs all across the world. And he's won that as well. And not only did he win, he beat Marcus Enning, German legend and one of the very best riders of all time, who also trains Bertram Allen. So he beats his trainer.
Wow. I love that horsey ride, that grey horse. She's incredible.
Molly Malone, yeah, she's absolutely gorgeous. And she's that, you know, that beautiful grey colour that just wins a legion of fans. So I think those two are going to be the names on everybody's lips next year as well.
Very good. And then also we have sad news. We were talking about some other sad news here earlier in the show, but sad news from the eventing world.
Yes, indeed. Nicola Wilson, who was on Britain's silver medal winning team at London 2012, she's a real team stalwart. She's best known for her partnership with Opposition Buzz, who is just this incredible cross-country horse. He had this insane jumping technique. Somebody described it as being like a Harrier jump jet. So it goes up in the air, along, and then down. And he used to give 4-star entries the biggest of margins. And he retired from 4-star earlier this year, and then they retired him completely just in September. And then we've heard the really sad news that he was put down at the weekend. He had a seizure, and veterinary advice was to put him down. So it's such a shame. He was only 17 and far too young. I think he deserved his years out in the field enjoying his retirement, but sadly that's been cut short.
He was a beautiful black horse with a star, and you're right, when I've seen him jumping on TV, we've watched him over here on TV, the crowd would always gasp because of his jumping technique. It just looked so weird.
It's unlike nearly any other horse, but so many riders have said that if they could ride any horse cross country, it would have been him. He just, like, he made it look so easy, like skipping up to fences at badminton in Burley and just jumping them as if they were a metre high. It was just incredible to watch. There's some great pictures as well that I've seen on other websites of him jumping fences and making them look like little cross poles. So you should go and check them out.
He completed 12 4-star events.
Yes.
That, you know, that's an incredible record for any horse.
He was amazing, and it was quite sweet because at 4-star level, he was never the best at dressage, and he'd always come up after cross country, and he'd always place, but it was so hard for him to win because his dressage was a bit weaker. And then this year, when they dropped him down to 3-star level, which is obviously still incredibly impressive and hard, but he just won everything. I think he came in the top 6 at nearly every single event he did. I think there was only one that he didn't finish the event, and he won quite a few and as well. It was just so nice that he got to kind of go out on a high.
Well, and then, you know, when we talk about horseandcountry.tv, there's a dynamic duo that works there, and Victoria is part of that dynamic duo. And then there's Jenny Rudel. You two are like, I mean, when I think of Horse and Country TV, I think of the two of you.
Well, when we go to invest together, we get asked if, like, we get called twins, which I think is much more flattering to me than it is Jenny, because she is taller than me, slimmer than me, and a lot smaller than me. And she's definitely not Scottish, although she's about to get married to a Scotsman, so she's obviously trying to replicate this family resemblance that we have going on. And yes, so Jenny went to Your Horse Live at the weekend, which is a big trade fair, and there's lots of shops and things, and she basically spent her time grabbing cup riders, as she always does. So we've got her latest video blog on the website.
Very good. And also, you have your blog of the week.
Yes, our blog of the week this time is by dressage rider Alice Oppenheimer. And if you check it out, there's a picture of Alice on this weird kind of inflatable boat thing, and they're all clinging on to grim life. And if you check out the picture, one of those four ladies is dressage gold medalist Charlotte Dujardin. So if you want to see Charlotte looking a little bit less comfortable than she does on Vallegro, go and check it out.
Yeah, I did think it was a funny picture.
It is funny, and it's way more dangerous than riding. That's way more dangerous.
Absolutely. I think they all fell off.
We don't think of dressage riders being super adventurous. I mean, it's not something we normally put together.
No, maybe this is how they get their kicks. So go on holiday for a week and think of various ways to try and kill themselves. And
that's funny. Well, Victoria, thank you once again for joining us. We really appreciate you stopping by. Of course, it's horseandcountry.tv is where you can find all of the goods. There's a lot of free stuff on there, and you also have a membership site as well, right?
We don't. It's all completely free. We just have an online subscription, but it's for Britain and Ireland only, I'm afraid. We do get lots of questions from people who want to watch it from outside, but it's not possible yet. So everything is free unless you're signing up to watch online in the UK.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Victoria.
My pleasure. Speak to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, that was Victoria Spicer, and we appreciate her stopping by. She stops by here most every Wednesday with the European Report. We're going to take a break and hear about our product of the week from Equestrian Collections, and then we're coming back with lots more guests. We're going to be talking fitness. We're going to be talking lawsuits. We're going to be talking all kinds of things here this morning. Plus, we have a couple of news stories I hope we have time for, because I want to talk to Wendy about them. One of them specifically is about the sexism in the veterinary community. So we'll get to that hopefully here in a little bit as well. Hi, Glenn here from the Horse Radio Network, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This week I'm talking about the Compositi Colored Premium Stirrup Irons. These things jumped out at me when we first got them because of all the colors that they come in. They're a composite stirrup, and that's all the new rage in stirrups right now because they are very, very light. I think the eventers would particularly like this stirrup because it is so light and because of all the colors. It comes in two sizes, 4-inch and 4 3/4, and the colors are like royal blue, bright green, lime green, yellow, orange, pink, light blue, all those kind of colors that you can match your outfits, or if you're an eventer, you can match your outfit that you wear when you compete. We also sell the fillings on the bottom of the stirrup separately so that you don't always have to have the same color. I have a pair of these, and what I liked about them besides the color was the fact that they were very, very light. You felt like it just felt really good. You can run the stirrups up, and you're not going to mess up your saddle at all with those. They're just really nice composite stirrups in very bright colors. I think they're a real fun item to get and a real fun gift to give.
And for the price under $30, you can't beat that. You could have one of every color.
Well, exactly. My colors are royal blue for one horse and orange for the other, so I intend to get the orange ones and the blue ones.
There you go. Well, you can find them at equestriancollections.com. Just search for colored stirrups, and they'll come up. And we thank Equestrian Collections for their continued support of Horses in the Morning. And while Jennifer is getting our next guest lined up here, I wanted to mention, well, let's get to this story real quick that I just mentioned. And that is, for those that don't know, Dr. Wendy Ying is a veterinarian and a traditional Chinese medicine doctor. And there was this article, I don't know if you saw it yesterday, Wendy, Sexism Straight from the Horse's Mouth, Life as a Female Veterinarian, and it was on Science 2.0's website. And it really talked about how this woman has encountered some really sexist behavior being a female vet. And I might add, I've seen her picture, a good-looking female vet who's fairly young, so that probably adds to it, right?
Right.
But, you know, I got to tell you, to be honest, we've always had, since I started with Jennifer, we've had female veterinarians. So for me, it's been, I always thought that horse vets were female. You know, I just couldn't.
I know.
Maybe had one guy all that time. You know, I just always thought of them as females.
Oh, I did see this article, and, you know, it does happen in the United States, too, but it's prevalent in England, and that's where this woman practices. And it's just because, you know, the way their society is, they kind of like, you know, they figure you need an old James Harriet guy to do your vet medicine. And, of course, people are they're not always willing to change quickly, you know, so I think that's...
How about you?
Have
you run into it at all? Here in the United States?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because I went to North Carolina State for my veterinary degree, and when I graduated, I had a small general medicine practice, and also I did a lot of sheep and goats because I love to do the small ruminants, and we had a big industry in North Carolina at the time when I graduated in 99 where they were breeding the beet goats, and that was like, I mean, I would go to like Red X Central and go work on these animals. And when these people saw a Chinese woman getting out of the truck to come work on their animals, they were a little bit shocked. But,
and Wendy's,
you know,
about 5'2", so we have a 5'2" Chinese woman veterinarian.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then that's one of the reasons why I went to specialize in Chinese medicine, because I thought, well, this is what they expect me to, you know, why fight it? Why fight their...
That's what they expect you to do.
Right. So now when I step out of the truck, they think, oh, she must have learned ancient Chinese secrets from her grandmother.
And your grandmother probably didn't even have a dog or a cat. So
oh, my grandmother, my Chinese grandmother, you know, like many Chinese people, animals, for one, are for outside, and for two, are for eating. You shouldn't have them for pets.
Right.
You know, and also she always yells at me because I'm outside all the time, you know, and I'm really dark. And for a lot of Chinese people, it's not, you know, when you're dark, it's not really good. So she used to always tell me, you have to cover up. You can't go outside. Look at your hands. Like, she can't stand what my hands look like.
Well, you know, one of the other things I read in this article, and I didn't realize this either, is that apparently there still is a salary gap that men on average here in the United States earn $112,000 as vets, and females $88,000.
Yeah, so. And, you know, I think that where we see sexism a lot in the equine veterinary world is that many male equine vets go into, like, equine surgery, and then those people do make a lot more money or get into a big practice. Whereas I think that not all women, but I think a lot of women are happier in, like for example, for my practice, I like having a small practice and being a small business and spending time with my clients and the animals. So I think that's a little bit of a different mentality. And that might be why that salary gap also... one of the big concerns of people hiring a young female veterinarian is they're afraid they're going to start a family. And, I mean, we do have a physical job. If you're pregnant, it's very difficult for you to go out at 3 a.m. and put in a prolapse uterus in a cow.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But many people make it work. I think that you shouldn't discriminate because of that, but I think that's why we see that
sometimes.
Wow. It would never, ever occur to me to make a decision on what veterinarian or doctor I would use based on the fact that, you know, someday that might that person might decide to start a family and change careers. You know,
I know.
The fellow that you hire could just as randomly get into a car wreck and become disabled and not be your vet anymore.
Right.
That's just stupid.
That's true. Yeah.
Just stupid.
Yep.
Well, right. That article.
Just had to weigh in on that.
Yeah, I was surprised to see it because, because of the limited experience I've had, it's just always been female veterinarians. You know, I just didn't think about them any different than male veterinarians.
Yeah, the vet we have down here is the first guy vet we've had, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first one, actually, yeah, you're right. It's the first one we had, everyone. And then, of course, we've had Dr. Jones on here for years doing, you know, horse health segments here on Wednesdays. And, yeah, it's just always been females. I don't even think about it anymore. Well, anyway, let's get to our next guests, and we're going to go from talking about sexism in the veterinary world to getting in shape. This is going to leave me out of this conversation, so you and Jennifer better jump in because I'm going to be stuck here. And we're going to introduce one of our longtime friends, and we actually became friends with her because she was a listener, one of our very first listeners to the Stable Scoop radio show, Michelle Barr. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Well, before we introduce Emily, I have to ask you, whatever we're talking about today doesn't mean that when I come to visit, we don't go get beignets yet, right? We still get to do that.
Oh, that's top on the list.
Okay, good. Because, if beignets are out, I'm having no part of this. Just saying.
Oh, no. we'll make sure we get some beignets. First thing.
Because, that's my priority when I come to Louisiana. And I got to tell you real quick. When we were there a couple years ago, that is still Jennifer and I's favorite food trip that we've ever taken. We had the best food there.
Oh, we ate a lot.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. A lot of good Cajun food. I absolutely loved it.
That's right.
Well, Michelle, why don't we let you introduce Emily?
All right. This is one of my students and now my business partner and certainly a very dear friend, Dr. Emily Beasley. She is a doctor of kinesiology at Louisiana State University. And I will say that this program is her brainchild. It's boot camp for breeches. And Emily and I do this clinic series together. And I will let you, Emily, talk about, take the lead here on the program.
Good morning, Emily.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. What's that big word that she just said that you are?
Kinesiology.
Yes.
And so kinesiology, basically the generic definition is the study of human movement. And then we have different disciplines, but I focus more so in the pedagogy and psychological side, sports psychology side. So, background and all. It's one of those little jack of all trades, master of none, I guess. But
so what is this program? It's called Boot Camp for Breeches, and I know nothing about it, so give us the 101 on it.
Well, the whole idea basically came about when I've got to get my husband on the horse husband show because he has some good stories. But we actually used to go always work out at the gym together. And there was this ongoing debate because I would, he would try to get me to do certain exercises and, strengthen this muscle, do that. And I would always not try to argue, but somehow it ended up an argument. Because I would say, this is actually getting in the way of my riding. This is not helping me. This is causing, if I'm doing a bench press, it's causing my chest to be tight, whereas I need to focus on other muscles. And I was really just trying to come back from an injury, started changing the way that I was working out, the way I was exercising, and it's amazing. My body has changed completely. And now, we were talking the other day, I look like a rider. And changing my approach and making it where it was something more sport specific. Because if you think, you know, football players, they have their own strength and conditioning coaches. Basketball players, you know, baseball players, all sports have their own specific training program or training regimen. And that's just something that I didn't see for equestrians and I did not see for riders. And when I started changing things, mixing things up a little bit, it was amazing. And it was kind of one of those things, like, I can't keep the secret to myself. You know, I have to go share. And even some of the clients that I work with, when they get on their horse, they're going, oh, my gosh, I've fixed some of these, you know, corrected some of these imbalances. I'm stronger here. You know, I've changed, you know, my body's changed. I'm a better rider because of this. And so it's kind of this overall holistic approach. We have fitness, it's sports specific, you know, and of course you have the aspect of fitness for your horse, because we most of the time actually put our horses first, honestly, and then, you know, we have the psychological motivation side of it, the whole idea, well, I don't have enough time to work out, you know, or I'm not motivated. So it's kind of this overall holistic idea, holistic approach. We have the horse and rider perspective.
I think this is such a great idea because, you know, the majority of our clients are always struggling with their horse's back or neck issue, or they're uneven, or they can't bend one way or the other, you know. And a lot of times if I have a rider that has multiple horses, sometimes we see that the horses have the same issues. And so we try to encourage the riders to, you know, balance themselves. Because if you're off on your body, like if your pelvis is not straight, then why would you think that wouldn't affect your horse's back? If you think it's important enough to fix your horse's pelvis, you have to fix your own pelvis, you know?
Absolutely. Sure. Michelle, do you want to tell them about Kate?
Yeah. So Emily right now is leashing one of my horses, and certainly, Wendy, I've observed for years that my horses all end up with the same problems, no matter what they come with. Yeah, it's very frustrating. And so for, you know, my horse to go to Emily with one set of problems, and I've taught Emily for years, and watched her ride and say, well, you know, this one's going to be good because it's going to do X, Y, and Z for you. I don't even have to say that anymore. And certainly for the week before last when I was down at her house, you know, the horse has adapted to her and they have, as all horse and rider combinations do, if you ride them if you're together for an extended period of time, they'll mirror each other.
Right.
And you'll have pain and problems in the same area in the horse and the rider.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Kate is showing us.
Sometimes too, you know, like say you're struggling with one of your horses, and then like you said, you have someone else ride them, or you know, that you sell them on, or the trainer rides them, and you think, why are they better with that person? Why was I so stuck in a certain place and couldn't go on? So, I mean, it could be the horse's body, but if a different person is on and there's a drastic improvement, then there's probably your body. And that's not saying that there's anything wrong with you. You just need to, you know, balance out your issue, whatever your issue may be. If you're, we're all asymmetric. I know I'm right-handed, so you know, I always muck with my right hand, and I always say to myself, "Oh, I should be mucking myself with my left hand," but I don't
it's
do
hard.
That. So,
and what's great about this is the riders. You know, a lot of times you'll get input from your instructor, and you won't feel it immediately. It'll feel weird. You're not sure. I don't know. Every last person that I've worked with that has worked with Emily, and I've worked with her too, and she has kicked my butt all over town. You feel it. You feel it when you ride on your own. You don't need another person on the ground to tell you, hey, this is great. Can you feel this or that? Riders will come to me and say, let me tell you what I felt this week in between lessons. And I can see it immediately. You can see it as they're walking around the barn. You don't
That's
have to
great.
See it on the barn.
Yeah.
You know, another thing I like about it is I like that when you're doing sport-specific exercises, you kind of take out the fact, you take out the horse, right? Because you're on the ground and you're moving your body in the ways that you need to move without the horse. So then you can know what your body's supposed to feel like. And then you get on the horse, like, say, I know I'm fighting with this problem right now. I can only do shoulder in one way and not the other. And I never knew why I struggled with that. And then my instructor had me stand on the ground, and she's like, okay, turn your head, but don't turn your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can't. I just physically couldn't do it one way or the other. So I had to reteach myself that movement. I'm not a good dancer either, by the way. So, I mean, that's
no, I feel you.
But practicing on the ground before I go to my lessons has made such a difference, because mm-hmm. I couldn't separate my body's feeling from the horse when I was on it. But once I got on the ground and did those exercises, it helped my brain understand how I needed to move.
And the more you do it, the more body aware you become, you get on this good spiral. The better your horse is, the better your horse mm-hmm. is, the more inspired you are mm-hmm. to keep going. And you just can't get enough. It starts to unlock things that you suspected were there, but you just didn't know how to get there. You didn't know what the problem was. And this has, I don't put a name on something that I've felt for years. Wasn't sure anybody else felt these things either. And luckily, we just came together, and she had the one aspect, and I had the other, and it's absolutely been nothing but positive.
That's great. And so, tell us about the camp. What's your camp like?
Well, it kind of depends. So, really, I end up working more one-on-one with clients because I found that that's, you know, more personal, more in tune. But for the actual boot camp, it's like these 6-week sessions. And so Barnes sign up and they're like, all right, we're all going to do this together, because all of the research basically says if you have a workout partner, you're going to stick mm-hmm. with it.
Right.
And so another thing that I do is that I tailor everything. It is functional fitness. So we're not going to the gym. We are not lifting weights. And that's one thing that's huge about this, is because I cannot go to a personal trainer and explain riding to him. I cannot explain how my body needs to move to someone that's not familiar with it. And so
right.
the exercises, the activities, everything that we do is just for riders. I mean, I had the girls doing, you know, deadlifts with a saddle one day. So it's things that we actually do. And another
yeah.
huge, huge thing is that as riders, we have muscular imbalances that other athletes do not have. So typically across the board, we're going to have a very tight psoas muscle, which can lead to so many other problems. It's going to lead to mm-hmm. maybe a weak piriformis. And, you know, I'm not going to start throwing out the kinesiology terms,
right.
but the point is that if I go to someone that specializes in something else, it's not going to work so well. So if it is a group, I can always address things that are going to be specific to us. Our psoas muscles are going to be tight. We're probably more likely going to have tight hamstrings, and the quads are going to be weaker just from the movements that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it is a group, the boot camp, that's kind of how we address. And
tell
I also,
them about the weekend.
What's that?
Tell them about the weekends, the weekend clinics.
Oh, yeah. And so we also do weekend clinics, and, you know, it's a two-day event. We would, you know, we come in and do focus on jumping one day and, you know, or flat work, depending on what the barn needs. The barn is a group. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, of course we can't travel everywhere and do 6 weeks solid with everybody.
Right.
But the huge focus for those are that we focus on the five components of fitness for the horse and for the rider. Because people hear fitness and they think, oh, well, that's just me losing weight. And that is not even what this is about. You know, muscular strength,
right.
muscular endurance, cardiovascular endurance, you know, flexibility, body composition. And so it's this overall picture, this overall approach. And then you look at on the opposite side, you address all of those with your horse all the time. I mean, how many of us have been out because it's starting to get colder, you know, trying to calculate the how much our horses weigh and their body composition. Do we need to change their feed? Do we need, you know? And so it's kind of taking that approach of we're addressing all aspects. And another really awesome thing that we do when we do have these clinics are that you get one-on-one time with each of us. And so Michelle watches, you know, women, men, whoever will watch you ride and then come to me, and then we can tailor a specific workout plan to your fitness assessments, and you have something that you take home that you can start working on. And so in all of my workouts, all of our, you know, plans, programs are going to be things that you can do at home without equipment, without, you know, we're horse women, you know, horse people. We don't have time to go travel to the gym and change clothes and all that. You can do it in your breeches. That's the point. So,
hey,
and as horse people, we work so hard. Oh, sorry, Glenn. As horse people, we work so hard anyways. Like, you're exhausted. You don't have time to go to the gym.
It's true.
I'm feeling very lazy sitting here right now, actually. So, Emily, I do have a question. You talk about, you know, your practice really has been more on the mental side of things as well as the, you know, as well as the physical. How have you found working on some of these physical things, on some of these corrections and exercises that people can do to fix some of the physical side of things for their riding? How has that affected their mental side then?
That's the kicker. That is the greatest question. So I'll try not to, you know, talk too much because I get really excited about this. But I also teach lifespan motor development at LSU. And in this class, I always, my poor students, they just get tired of hearing about horses, I think, because none of them, they don't get it all the time. But I always get to tell the story about how when I had my concussion, I had a pretty severe, you know, severe injury, all this kind of stuff, trying to rehab and come back. Well, I couldn't do anything physical for 3-4 months. I definitely could not ride. So then I start trying to get back in shape. But Glenn, during that whole time off, I was literally studying, watching videos, you know, working on the mental aspect, the mental side of it, the mental training. So then when I start getting fit, getting more in shape, the first time I get back on my horse and jump, it was slow motion. It was almost better than it was before. And so I was able to take the things that I was doing off my horse because I could not get on him. You know, the little exercises I was being able to do, it's almost like rehab. And so I've experienced this personally. And then I go, and some of my clients, one, Jennifer, for example, has become so much more confident because she can hold herself in a safer position when she's riding. And she, you know, she got off one day after having a lesson with Michelle and comes back to me and she said, I feel so much more balanced and so much more coordinated and just overall, I felt so much better. And that's one thing that I think has been really cool to watch too, is, you know, I've experienced, but then seeing other women, other riders go, you know what, I've realized my ankle has always been in the way, but now that it's stronger, I can move to the next step. And so there's this mental side of I can conquer the next thing because I fixed this one thing or corrected, you know. It's really, I get excited, as y'all can't tell.
I can tell. That's good. Well, and I'm glad you're both excited about this. You know, where can people, Michelle, find out more about either getting a clinic in their barn or attending one that you might have that's open to the public?
Yeah, you can always email me at michelle@rightlead.com, michelle@rightlead.com. And Emily, I think you have an email specific to boot camp.
Absolutely. It's bootcamp4, the number 4 breeches, and it's at gmail.com. And I also, there's a lot of information on the website, which is just bootcampforbreeches.com. And the same thing, same little tagline for Twitter and Facebook.
And it's bootcamp, the number 4 breeches.com,
yes.
As opposed
yes.
to being spelled out. Well, thank you guys
Absolutely.
For stopping by. We really appreciate it. And we'll be over for those beignets pretty soon there, Michelle.
All right.
And then I'll have to make them work out after.
Okay, we won't tell you're coming.
Beignets.
I'm going to have them shipped. I'm not getting anywhere near Dr. Emily. I think that'd be bad for me. We'll see you guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Remind me to stay away from Dr. Emily, okay? Because it sounds like work. And
well, Glenn, remember, you're a diver, so eating donuts is a sport-specific exercise for you.
We're encouraged to get fat and lazy. That's right.
You just sit there.
That's right. We just sit there. We drink wine. We eat cookies. That's the reason I took up driving, is there's no expectation for athleticism.
That's right.
Yeah. I like that part. Well, let's hear from our sponsor this half hour, and that's EquityMFG.com. There are expectations for how darn good your manure fork is, and Equity makes the best ones. And then we're going to hear from Chancey Neal with her song, Girl with the Guitar. After that, we're coming back with Tawny Angel and her fight against the animal right extremists out there in California. Jamie and I have been raving about the Equity Flex and Fork and Shaken Fork for months now, and some of you might be saying they are just saying all those nice things because they are getting paid to. Well then, let's hear from some other people about what they think. Here is Flex and Fork user Eric Bates, Pasofino owner from Kentucky, on their sturdiness.
I've been using the Flex and Fork for almost a year now. I looked it up on the internet as being a quality-made fork, and that's what I was looking for. I had already replaced two or three, you know, the manure forks that you would get at a farm supply store, and I wanted something of good quality that would last, and this has just been more than I could ever ask for.
With a Shaken Fork, you save time and money by just using this motorized fork every day. Here is Leslie from Horse Nation on how much bedding she is saving using the Shaken Fork.
It really does. It helps you sift through, you know, so you're not throwing out as much. I think Equity says that the forks probably save you $1 a stall per day in between bedding saved and labor, you know, time you're saving, and I believe them for sure.
Okay, you have heard them. It's not just Jamie and I saying this. What are you waiting for? Go to EquityMFG.com and get yours today. EquityMFG.com. You will thank us every single day.
Out on your own. I got a hug from mama, still on my mind.
Well, that was Chancy Neal with her song, Girl with a Guitar. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Dr. Wendy Ying today, course of the Driving Radio Show, filling in for Jamie. If you didn't hear the beginning of the show, Jamie is out on a sheriff's department ride-along today, so she should have some stories to tell us on Friday. And, of course, Coach Jen is in the producer chair today. This half hour is brought to you by EquityMFG.com. Usually in this spot, we do the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. But today, we're doing something a little different because our friend and best time or New York Times best-selling author John Katz asked us to take a look at a story that he wrote about on his blog yesterday at BedlamFarm.com. And John's been on our show many times talking about the New York carriage horse situation and trying to make sure that the carriage horses stay there in Central Park in New York. And, of course, Wendy and I feel very strongly about that and have discussed it over in the Driving Radio Show many times. Well, there's a woman out in California who's going through a similar kind of battle, only I would say that she is now representing the entire horse community in taking this to a new level. And we're going to talk with her about what she's going through out there in California. And believe me, this affects all of us. All of us that have a horse, that ride a horse, that drive a horse, that love their horses, are going to be affected by this eventually. What she has gone through, unfortunately, has had to go through here at the beginning of this fight. And her name is Tawny Angel. Hi, Tawny.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for getting up so early there in California to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, are you kidding? We are horse people. You think we ever sleep past six? You're crazy.
It's true.
We're
you probably
college.
Already fed the horses and the ponies are all happy. Well, I'll tell you, there's so much of this story, and your name is probably being heard for the first time by the tens of thousands of people who listen to this show, so I don't want to miss anything. Let's start at the beginning. You're out, and by the way, Wendy will come into this conversation in a bit because she's very, very familiar with you and has some personal experience with your ponies. So let's start with you started a business in 2003. Tell us about that.
Right. I took over a business that was a pony ride and petting zoo, doing birthday parties, the farmers markets, and church functions, anywhere ponies or petting zoo were needed.
And
with
this is
that
where?
Came, in Ventura County in California.
Okay.
So Los Angeles. Los Angeles and Ventura area.
Okay.
With that came the Santa Monica Farmers Market every Sunday. And that has been, like, the staple to my business. It's been wonderful. I've been there every Sunday for 11 years. And just recently, I have some protesters that disagree with using any animals whatsoever for any kind of work whatsoever. And they are very loud and opinionated about it. So
well,
that's kind of...
There's one quote here just to set the stage a little bit. One of the protesters wrote letters and petitions to the city council. I assume that's Santa Monica City Council.
Yes.
And that it was cruel and abusive for ponies to be used to provide entertainment to children.
Right. Yes.
You know,
she wants us to teach compassion.
That one,
you know, and I don't know any other way to teach it.
I know. It's just like, oh, my God. So she would really hate that I'm driving my little pony around in the cart and he's having to pull my big body around. She would hate that.
Glenn, you're not that fat.
Oh, I'd be arrested.
I actually was so disappointed to hear that the ponies weren't there anymore because my parents live like two blocks from the Santa Monica Farmers Market. And I have some little brothers and sisters and, you know, I used to drive them down there all the time, you know, because they like animals, but, you know, they're not into riding like I am. And I love the fact that I could take them down there when they're little kids and they're not around animals a lot. And then you had ponies and you also had ducks and bunnies and chickens. And some of these city kids never see these animals.
I can't tell you how many times I have a child ask what that is as they are like pointing to a chicken or they mm-hmm. are always calling my goats cows, and I have a cow there, a Zebu, which is like a miniature cattle breed.
Oh, yeah.
So
those
I can
are
see
so
the difference.
Cute. Yeah. And then I think it makes them more compassionate when they see these animals. You know, I'm not saying they all need to be vegetarians, and I'm certainly not a vegetarian, but at least you appreciate the animal, you know, that is part of our lives, whether it's for work or, you know, for anything.
Oh, that's how I feel. How else are they going to appreciate to not waste food or, I mean,
mm-hmm.
my daughter the other day, she looked at my chicken and she's like, we eat those? I'm like, oh, some people eat chicken.
Now, Tony, how many kids would you have ride the ponies on a Sunday?
Any Sunday, on average, 200 to 300 kids ride my ponies and go in my petting zoo. So,
okay.
I mean, that's quite a lot.
That is a lot.
Each family has two kids. It's way over 100, 150 families in the Santa Monica area.
And every Sunday.
It's a really popular farmer's market, you know, and people go and hang out. They have a band playing right by their ponies. And, you know, it's like a park. It's a really enjoyable thing. And I am shocked that there was even anyone that complained, because this is the unfortunate thing about the silent majority. There were thousands of people there enjoying that every Sunday. No.
Yes. We're actually still there. We're there until my contract expires in May. And then because of the recent controversy, the city decided not to renew my contract.
And what happened. When they first showed up, when these activists first showed up, you probably thought the same thing that all of us think when we first have encounters, is that you just really can't believe they're even protesting this. I've seen pictures of your horses. There's been three different veterinarians, at least three, that have stopped out and said your horses are perfectly happy. The police department's been over, and the people from the police department know about horses have looked at your horses and said they're happy, they're fed. You have one of the very few pony rides in this country where the horses are fat and groomed all at the same time.
Thank you. That was what I set out to do. I was a certified, I rode my whole life, and then I became a certified riding instructor, and I took people out on trail rides in Malibu for years. And I took over the business I took over in the hopes that I could do this differently. I know there's lots of pony companies and petting companies that don't do it how it should be done. So that was kind of my vow. Like, I'm going to introduce animals and ponies to these kids in the city that never get to see them, and I'm going to do it right. So I think I take it even more personally that I've been attacked like this, because I know wholeheartedly that I do everything I can possibly do to, you know, take care of my animals to the utmost, you know, way I'm able to.
Well, what drives me crazy, and what drives Wendy and all of us crazy about the extremists or activists' arguments, one is they don't know anything about horses, and it's evident in what they say. And I have the quote here from one of them was, "There every Sunday, six ponies, some of them dragging their feet, having trouble walking. They're tethered to a metal bar and forced to plod for hours in tiny circles on hard cement," which I know isn't true, "with bands often loud, blaring next to the pony's sensitive ears," and it just goes on and on and on. And then the arguments, I've seen this 100 times about the New York City carriage horses, is that when they're resting, standing there, they're holding their foot up, which obviously means they're lame. And, of course, all of us at horse people laugh at all of that, because we know it's just they're sleeping, for God's sake. We rest our bodies when we're sleeping, too. So we know all of this stuff. And, by the way, there's been studies that have shown that when horses do the circular repetitive thing like these ponies do, it has no ill effect on their bodies in any way. It, you know, it doesn't bother them. It's for safety for the kids a lot of times.
There's no other way for me to provide 4 to 6 ponies in a public environment like that any safer than on a carousel.
Tell us about the police officer that came out in his report.
Oh, he is wonderful. So he, I believe his wife is a trainer. I know he's grown up. He's worked on ranches his whole life. He was in charge of the animal control unit for years. And he came out and he said, "Tanya, you're doing a good job." I mean, he was a police officer. He was diplomatic. He talked to the protesters. He spoke with my husband and I. He evaluated everything that he saw. And what we saw he tried to explain to my protesters was well cared for, well fed, well groomed, healthy animals that were mellow. They like to say that my animals look miserable because their heads are hanging low underneath the bar and yada yada, but they're sleeping. Like you said, they've got one leg kind of up, and a couple of my ponies, Midnight and Holly, like to walk with their heads below the bar. I tie the lead rope long enough, which, by the way, drives me crazy. It's not a tether. It's a lead rope. I tie it super loose so they can move their heads wherever they want. And if they feel like walking with their head below the bar, then by all means, they should be able to walk that way. I think everything she says, I have infants, brand new infants to, you know, adults with us at the farmer's market the whole time. So her constant comments about the exhaust and the loud music blaring and all of its craziness, there's 200 kids in it also, and I don't believe any of the parents in Santa Monica are going to put their kids in an environment that's, you know, disgusting from her words. You know, about it being
then, yeah,
full of exhaust.
There's not a lot of exhaust there. This is like
no.
Main Street Santa Monica. It's like one lane each way. And in fact, this is what I love about Santa Monica. There's bike valet parking right by your pony ride.
Yes.
I
well,
love bike valet.
Officer Graham mentioned Santa Monica is a coastal city with coastal breezes. It's not necessarily hot.
It's the most beautiful weather on earth. That's why it costs a gazillion dollars to live in Santa Monica.
Right.
So and a lot of these ponies, you had are rescue ponies, right?
A lot of them are rescued, not necessarily from a rescue situation. I've acquired some from sales. I haven't gone to sales in years, but I have 4 ponies that I bought at a Bakersfield auction, which was less than nice. A few of them are families that have called me over the years and said, hey, we can't keep our horse or we haven't been taking care of them like we know we need to. Can you take them? You know, those kind of rescues. Some people accuse me of saying that I am a rescue. I don't by any means claim to be a rescue at all. But I have definitely rescued animals from, you know, not so good situations.
Hey, you know what? A ton of the listeners of the show have rescued animals, and it's something we talk about all the time. I have a rescue pony right now. It doesn't make me a rescue. I just saved his butt from dying from starvation, you know?
Right.
You know, and
well,
by the way, he holds his head
that.
Real low when he drives with me, and I would prefer he didn't, but, you know, he does hold his head low sometimes because he's a lazy pony.
Yeah.
So.
You mean he's not all wild-eyed with his mane blowing in the wind, running around?
No, he doesn't hold
Good.
His head up
he
and run around.
I wouldn't
like
let you die.
Normal.
I wouldn't let you dive anything like that. Who's running around?
Well,
they all
me.
Have their own personalities. I have 18 ponies. Some of them are sassy. Some of them are mischievous. Some of them are very lazy. It's just they all have their own personalities.
Well, now they've written and did enough. I love this, too. I can't let this go before we talk about the lawsuit. I can't let this go. One of the articles I read said that they didn't get anywhere when they called the police because the policeman said, you know, everything's okay here, you know, stop bugging me. And so then they started this writing campaign and basically stalking you. And I read in an article that they had pictures of you and your husband actually consuming alcohol on vacation. And I got to tell you, I am highly disappointed in anybody
right,
that would
me.
Drink on vacation. I mean, that's just awful.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's
there's a
terrible.
Few photos. And there's a lot of mistruths to those comments. There's comments that I'm shooting guns on my ranch and that, you know, that's not good for the animals. When the pictures they've provided are not of me or my husband, and they're not on my ranch. They're people I know and a ranch that I go to. It's my family's ranch, but I'm not even in that picture. So, I mean, that's the kind of things that we're dealing with here. It's crazy.
Oh, and by the way,
that's so funny that that's all the dirt they can, like, pull up on you. Glenn,
yeah.
and I would be in trouble if we had stalkers trying to find evidence.
Trouble. We have a shooting range on our ranch or on our farm here. Now, and the other thing is the biggest upcoming sport for all – this is going to really drive them nuts. The biggest upcoming sport right now in the horse world is mounted shooting. So
yeah.
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 all right. So it's gone to the next level. You've lost your contract. When your contract is up, the city has said you're out.
Right.
So what that meant for you is really a loss of a majority of your income to help take care of all and feed all of these ponies to make them fat like they are. So you decided you had to go to the next step.
I just don't think the whole thing has been so unfair, and I, to be honest, don't know how much I can talk about, but
right.
the facts are out there that I have had protesters because of the controversy that has been stirred up over it, which, by the way, is just a handful of people that are very persistent. The council decided that they don't necessarily know if it's a good thing for their city anymore. But for me, four people decided the fate of my family's future. Four people and a handful of protesters. The city council voting us out when I have thousands of signatures of actual Santa Monica residents that want us to be there. So I wasn't sure what else to do. If I lose my contract, which I have, and I am not able to get it back, which I'm asking the city council to please do a revote, I've lost a lot. I've lost the families that have supported us for so many years, the ability. Of course, I could do birthday parties. Of course, there's other ways. My business would not be being shut down. But I've devoted every Sunday of my life for 11 years to that farmer's market. And for it to be taken away, I've never had to renew a contract. I've never had to put a bid in for my spot. It's just always been a given that I would be there next week. So for it to be taken away because of a handful of folks that don't think what I do is right and they've put their opinion and just thrown all kinds of crazy information out there, it just seems so unacceptable.
And
I can't just walk away. I love them too much to walk away.
So you have filed suit, and I realize you can't really talk about that, but it is in the news all over the country right now.
I know.
You have filed suit against them, and really, you know, I said this at the beginning of the segment, you are really leading the way for all of the horse owners and really pet owners who do any kind of work or sport with their animals. I hate to say this, but you're kind of leading the way for all of us. With this lawsuit, I know Breitbart picked it up. I was reading their article this morning and several of the other mainstream press. It's not just in the horse press anymore. And, of course, John Katz is one of your biggest supporters, and we posted a link to his article and how thoughtful he is about all of this.
He is
absolutely amazing and so thoughtful. And he writes it in a way – I hope your lawyer looks at everything he writes, because he writes it in a way that none of us can say out loud.
Right. I agree.
You know, he's so articulate with that. I don't know what to tell you other than all of us horse people are behind you. We've all done pony rides. My wife and I have done pony rides at the church every year. And, you know, anybody with a pony gets asked to do a pony ride eventually, right?
I know, yes. So, yeah.
It's just what we do. And, you know, yeah, there are some out there that maybe haven't treated their ponies well, but there's an exception in every industry. We've talked about this before. That doesn't put the other 99% of us under the bus.
No.
So good for you for standing up for yourself and for you know, doing the fight. I hope you get some support along the way here with what you need for the lawsuit and for the lawyers. And if there's anything else that we can do for you, you let us know, okay?
I really, really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, and you know, thank you. And Wendy, if you're in Santa Monica between now and May, come and visit.
I will be.
I'll
be out there early in 2015, so I will definitely come by and see you and the ponies and those little baby goats.
I would love that.
Do you have a big enough pony for Wendy? Because she never gets to ride. So, you know.
I have a horse in my house if she wants to ride.
Okay, all right, good. Thank you, Tawny. Appreciate
you. You're
your
welcome.
Time.
Oh, right, thank you. Have
care.
A great day.
Well, you know, she really is. I doubt she expected that the amount of publicity this was going to get and that it was going to blow up like it did and end up in the mainstream press like it did. So, you know, and I know she was somewhat limited of what she could say because of the lawsuit.
Yeah.
But let's hope she wins this lawsuit. And what she's suing for is for defamation.
And you know what else? We, as a silent majority, okay, if you're sitting there and saying, you know what, I should do something to help her. You have to speak up, because those animal rights activists, there's only a handful of them, but they're the squeaky wheel that gets the grease because they're so opinionated. And for the rest of us, we're like, oh, well, you know, I mean, that stinks and we talk about it, but you have to take some action when these kind of things happen, or that's how the government takes over.
And you may think that we're just, you know, that it doesn't apply to you. And, you know, Tawny didn't think it applied to her either. She was just running her little business there with her cute little ponies. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, she's out of business in a matter of a short period of time by some people that we think, are a little bit out there.
They probably don't even live in Santa Monica. You know, they're just looking for something to complain about.
And they don't know anything about horses or ponies. And what they don't want, what they're going to do next, and I said this with the New York carriage horse, and I know, you know, I even have some friends that disagree that they think that the carriage horses shouldn't be in New York. And my argument from the beginning was, it's a snowball rolling down the hill. Once they're done getting them out of New York, they're going to go after. Next, it's going to be fox hunting in a serious way. They've always been knocking on the fox hunter's door a little bit, but they're going to go after that next. Then eventers, because horses die all the time in eventing. And racing, they're going to be racing. Pretty soon, they're going to be at your sport. So, you know, it's only going to be a matter of years. These snowballs get bigger as they go down the hill. They don't get smaller. So what happens is they gain some steam, and then all of a sudden they're going to take on two or three disciplines at once, and then you are going to be in the thick of it. And they do not want us riding our horses at all or driving them. They don't want us doing anything with our horses other than letting the horse out, stand out in the field. And by the way, my pony loves to go for drives. He looks forward to it. He goes nuts if we don't do something with him. But they don't understand that either. They just don't get that.
No. They don't even want people to have pets. They think that, you know, your dog should go free, just run around free.
So if you do nothing else, just...
He's not going to be wanting to be outside. Mika needs to be on the couch watching TV.
This is an awareness thing. We're not even so much a money thing. You know, we're not asking you to set. Tony's not asking for money. We're asking you to, you know, to make people aware, to post it on Facebook, and to be aware of the stories that are out there and the things that are happening. And we're going to help with that. You know, we don't get very serious on this show very often. It's mostly just a lot of fun and laughter and things like that. But this was so important that we felt that we had to today. And Tony was kind enough to come on and talk to us. So, that's why we did it. And that all of us, Jamie and Wendy and Jennifer and I, feel so strongly about it. So we posted some links on Facebook. If you want to share them, please do. And good luck to her.
Yeah.
And next time you go out, bring a bag of carrots for the ponies, because they're starving. You know, when.
Well, I'd rather see a pony a little too skinny than disgustingly fat and having laminitis and stepping out of his feet. But the animal rights people don't even know enough about medicine to understand their metabolism.
They think, apparently, that they all should look like Thelwell ponies. And by the way, Tony's ponies are not skinny. They're actually...
No, they're not skinny.
They're actually approaching a little bit fat. They need to go around in circles for a while on Sundays.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get off our soapbox now. Thank you, Wendy, for joining me. I appreciate it. By the way, the driving radio show was out, so if you want to hear more of Wendy, you can hear her over on the driving radio show. You can listen to drivingradioshow.com, or you can just get our app, iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network in the App Store, and you'll find Wendy over there in the driving radio show. So thank you so much for filling in today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It was great. It was a great show. And I'm glad we didn't have to do the trivia, because I'm so bad at it. I can't answer any of the questions. They're too hard.
You're worse than me. Or I'm worse than you at trivia, let me tell you. I don't do well either at trivia. Jennifer's too tough. That's what
She's
it is.
Smart.
Jennifer, what do we got tomorrow? Is tomorrow a best of episode? She's on mute. Let me unmute her here. Go ahead.
Unmute me. Yep. Tomorrow we have a classic episode coming up, and we're going to be replaying some interviews we did with experts on winterizing your barn and fire prevention.
Oh, good. We need to do that right now, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's the annual reminder. We need to do that.
Really Bad Ads on Friday, everybody's favorite. To get your Really Bad Ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, put Really Bad Ads in the subject line, and then copy and paste the entire Craigslist or whatever ad into the email, and pictures and all, and send it over to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We'll have lots of great prizes. It's been 2 weeks. We didn't get to do Really Bad Ads last week. So we're looking forward to doing that. And Jamie should be back with lots of stories from her adventures with the Sheriff's Department. So we'll hear about that as well. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you, guys. It was great.
Thank you, Jennifer. Take care, everybody. We'll talk to you again on Friday.